all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to see. On you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be
teaching today, the natural has to be offered up. The natural has to be offered up. And I'm basing this teaching from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 21 onwards, in which it speaks of two covenants. We know that the scriptures reveal that there are basically two covenants that God has made with man. Covenant with Israel under the law, and the new covenant made through his son Jesus Christ. The covenant of grace, love. So that is what we're going to keep in mind today. The natural has to be offered up. And Galatians 4:21 tells us, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do not hear the law. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise," or the Spirit, "which things are symbolic." So he clearly is revealing something that's symbolic here to describe what he's trying to say to the Galatians. "For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has made many more children than she who has a husband." So in other words, God in insight knew that even though Israel was going to disobey and perish in the wilderness, God had many, many more who were going to respond, and that is Gentiles through Jesus Christ. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so is now." And that is our conflict that we have in Palestine. The Jews the Jews and the Palestinians. There is the conflict even today. It is Isaac and Ishmael problem. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And the apostle, of course, used this analogy, and we know because the church at Galatia were wanting to bring back circumcision and other laws as well. And of course, the debate that he raises is, well, why bring this upon Gentiles when even Israel couldn't live by it? Why are you putting such a burden upon Gentiles? That, of course, is his debate, his question, and a very good one indeed. And, of course, this still goes on today. Nothing is new under the sun. It is called religion. And there is the problem. Religion is in bondage. Being born again of the Spirit from above is free. And there is the difference. But these two have to be walked out. Religion and being set free from religion and being free in Christ Jesus has to be walked out. The fall of man is naturally religious. Why is man naturally religious? Because Satan is religious. He has fallen. And so we have to be brought out from that mindset, from that thinking, from that bondage, from that guilt. And this, of course, is why salvation in Christ Jesus is such a miracle and such a working, worked out in our lives each day. Because we are naturally religious. And religion is hypocrisy, it is pride. And they are the things that we are getting delivered from, worked from. And so this is why I'm calling this teaching, the natural has to be offered up. Well, Galatians 4:21, as we've just read there, is dealing with the natural and the spiritual. It's not so much sin, although if you walk in the flesh and maintain that, then sin will take birth. But it's not really so much dealing with sin here, it's dealing more with the natural and the spiritual. You see, we're dealing about spiritual growth. Not all grow up spiritually. And this is a huge problem amongst Christianity. It is a huge problem in the house of God. Not all desire to grow up and mature in the Spirit. And this, of course, Paul highlights this in the book of Galatians, because he's saying if you put yourself under the law, you put yourself under this hypocrisy, this will stunt your growth spiritually. It may not mean that you are eternally damned, but it will mean that you're just saved by the skin of your teeth and you will lose those rewards in heaven. This is what it's meaning. We are now living in an age where the Spirit is calling forth sons of God to mature into their full growth of faith. And few, it seems, respond to this. They still want to act and be babes, and God will not have it. And we're going to look at this analogy, but before we go on, I want just to give you some scriptures to back up what I'm saying in the context of all of this. For example, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." So So there we are getting a clear understanding that the Spirit of God requires us to start to grow and mature. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And he goes on, for when one says, I'm of Paul and another of Apollos, are you not carnal? These things are rife, sadly, in the house of God. Arguing which is the best ministry, which is the best orator, which is the best teacher, Apollos or Paul or so forth. There's all this strife going on, and that is a sign of carnality. And if Christians do not take heed, they will be held in the bondage of the Laodicean, which is neither hot nor cold. And God says the warning to that church, I will spew, or it actually means in the Greek, I'll vomit you out. So we have to grow and mature in this walk spiritually. And also in 1 Peter, he has something to say about this. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So there is a place of course, for that milk, which we all need. The mother's milk, that is vital for a babe, but you cannot remain on that. And that is the point. You see, the natural must be changed into the spiritual. You know, we grow from infant to child into maturity. We've all gone through that process in our bodies of being an infant to being an adult. And we have to go through this puberty change to become an adult. Now, puberty, this simply means that it produces the hormones. And these hormones, they, in a sense, send chemical messages to the body. And these messages, these hormones, which are testosterone for men and estrogen for girls, they start to change us and develop us so that we begin to mature as adults. And so what happens? You start to grow, you start to get taller, you start to get heavier, your brain, your mind takes on a different form. You begin to see and experience and feel things differently. You become reproductive. All these changes take place within us. And yet when we bring this over to the spiritual, we can be absolutely blinded to this. This is why, brothers and sisters, we respond to the deeper life. The deeper life is about sons. It's about growing up spiritually from the natural to the spiritual. This is what it's about. You see, the natural must be changed into the spiritual. The new birth, that new nature that we have received in Christ Jesus, cannot just remain in that state. It has to grow. It has to mature. And the only way that we can change the natural into the spiritual, it requires, when God gets us to a place, this never happens when you are first saved. This starts to happen after you have been walking with God for a few years or how long it takes. Suddenly you find, by the mercy of God, he starts to take us deeper with him, and he shows before you can go deeper with him, it requires sacrifice. We're not talking about salvation. We're not even talking about commitment. We're talking about something further, and it requires sacrifice. You see, many Christians walk in God's permissive will, and that's what the natural will do, because they still want to be in control. They still want to be in control of their life, but they still want to call themselves a Christian and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that never happens. Never happens. You cannot remain in the permissive will of God. You have to come into the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God is that we willingly sacrifice. We surrender our will. Us. To the will of God. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's what he says. So God's plan is to transform, to change us from the natural into the spiritual. Because it is the spiritual that is going to live eternally in heaven and the New Jerusalem. It cannot be the natural. And this is done through obedience. I spoke recently on obedience, the baptism of obeying, obedience, which we had never seen before like that. That's what he's doing now with us. This is what transforms us into spiritual beings. This is where the greater works is going to come, brothers and sisters. This is where we will be raptured. We will be caught away as the first fruits unto the Lord, the wise virgins. We've got this extra oil. This extra oil is this transformation. It is walking in the spirit and not the flesh. That is the difference. That's why I've always said that the 10 virgin are virgin. They are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But the foolish don't want that change. They still want the natural. They still want to be in control. Oh yes, they have oil. They have understanding of the word of God. Yes, they experience the anointing. But the difference is that the sons of God see sacrifice. You, self, willingly offered up on that altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That is the difference, brothers and sisters. That is the difference. And they will be the sons of God. They will be the first fruits that will follow the Lamb throughout eternity, wherever he goes. And they do this by obedience. You see, sin has made it necessary for the natural to be sacrificed. In other words, when we were babes and whatever, we were falling in and out of sin and back with God, sin, back with God, you know, you went through it. And we still do sometimes. And we come back and thank God for the blood of the Lamb that washes and cleanses us. But you cannot live a life like that. You cannot be strong one minute and weak the next. Strong one minute and weak the next. You can't walk like that, which many Christians do. That's why God is delivering us. And in that deliverance, it strengthens our faith. It makes our faith stronger so that God answers. You see, the devil is very subtle. He knows how to keep Christians in weak state. He might not be able to destroy them, but he'll keep them in a weak state. And he kept you and I like that. until God took hold of us and he brought us into this teaching, like the deeper life. So sin, in many ways, God has used it in which to bring us to this place of sacrifice. Now, we read here that Ishmael had to be offered up before Isaac. And that is how the story goes. We know the story of where the two boys grew up, but they didn't get on. They fought together. Does that sound familiar? Between the flesh and the spirit, that fighting that goes on? Well, there was fighting there. And in the end, the bondwoman and Isaac had to be cast out. Now, Abraham, he didn't want it, but Sarah, she had insight. She saw this cannot go on. And there is our blindness, isn't it? And sometimes it has to take someone else or someone to do something in which then to open our eyes and ears and heart, because we don't see otherwise. And so both sons had to be separated. You cannot grow in conflict. You cannot grow in a body where there's bickering and arguing and lying and jealousy and deceit and all those things that sadly can go on still in the house of God. You cannot mature in that environment because it's so opposite to the Spirit. It's so opposite to the love of God. You can't grow in an environment like that. That's why the Spirit said, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. A lot of that stuff is unclean. You will never mature as sons in that. So, the flesh and the spirit. We get this analogy, what the Apostle Paul is describing to the Galatians. You see, many try to walk by the Spirit before sacrificing the natural. And that's where a lot go wrong. You see, some who came into the faith teaching, some over the years who embraced a deeper life, went with it, ran with it. But the problem was, they still wanted this walk in the carnal, in the flesh, the natural, in other words. And you can't. You can't do that. There has to come sacrifice. What is sacrifice for? Well, it's not only the offering up of yourself, as we know, because you can't do any more than that, but it's a bit more. I'm just going to read this again. I know you know it well in Romans 12, 1 and 2, but it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's you, your whole being, as a living sacrifice. In this case, it's living. It doesn't actually die. This is a living sacrifice because you and I are living. We're breathing. We're here today, now, in fellowship. So that's what it means. But this living sacrifice, you and I, it's unto holiness that's acceptable to God, which is your responsibility, in other words. It's your free will. It's what you want to do for God. It's the only thing you can offer back to him. Because we can't do anything for him. Salvation is a gift. It's the mercy of God. But in that gift, we can do one thing, and that is I give myself back to you. My heart, my being, everything. And we give it on the altar. And do not be conformed to this world. There's the deliverance now. It's delivering you from the world and its ways. But be transformed. There's that word metamorphosis, to be changed. It's a changing. It's being transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Because the mind has to be delivered. Because the enemy, demons, still can have access to the mind. We've given much teaching on that over the years, and that is what God's doing. The only way you can get deliverance from the mind, your thinking, those wrong thinkings, those lustful thinkings, is when you offer yourself on that altar. A lot of counseling I have done over the years with brothers and sisters, with problems in their mind, in their thinking, the sinning that they do. The problem is because they've not given themselves on that altar so that the fire of God, the Spirit of God, can start to transform, start to change, start to renew the mind so that they put on the mind of Christ, that new mind. There's the deliverance. And that's why so many are bound still in the mind. But that's what God's doing and will do. Why? What for? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you can discern. You can hear the Spirit. You know what the Spirit is saying. You know God's perfect will, not the permissive will. It is the perfect will of God for your life, for your walk, what you say, what you do, where you go, what you encounter, everything. And once you experience the perfect will of God in your life, you cannot go back to the permissive. You just don't have an appetite for it anymore. Because in the perfect will of God is the presence of God, is your Father. And there's the difference. And there's the peace, the confidence, the faith, the anchoring. There is the life of God, Christ, in you, taking over in your weakness. This is what it means. It's all there. The natural has to be surrendered up. Why? Because if you don't do that, you will always battle with your will, your stubbornness, your pride, which was the devil's downfall. And he's going to make sure you will be oppressed by that. And that is your deliverance from that. From that willfulness, that selfishness, that pride, doing it independently of God. There it is. Because if you don't do that, you will eventually come under the bondage of the law of God. And if you put yourself under the law, you then put yourself under its curse and the wrath of God. Because Christ has fulfilled that law. And the law that we fulfill now, that royal law, is to love unconditionally. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a deliberate choice. No man or woman takes up their cross accidentally. It is a choice, a chosen act, the same as Jesus. Jesus never accidentally stumbled on the cross. No. His life and heart was being prepared for that great sacrificial act. And so it's the same with us. And this comes through commitment. It comes through our separation, being sanctified unto God. In other words, it's my whole being. It's signifying that this has cost me. I'm holy unto the Lord. And people are going to see, even Christians are going to see my word. What that brother, that sister is doing, I know that has not come cheap. God has had to do a work in their lives. This is what I marvel with. When I see saints who have walked with God and what God has done, I always know that that has cost them everything. Because I see God in them. I see Jesus in them. And that is what the world is going to see in you and I, brothers and sisters. The world, the church is crying out for the sons of God to come forth in these last days. And they are. And that is why Revelation 12 shows us the man-child is being formed, prepared, ready to be revealed. You see, if we don't do this, our natural life, the carnal side, the flesh, if we don't do this, it's going to glory in self. And where there is glory in self, you have got hypocrisy. And hypocrisy makes the life of Christ in me a mockery. That's what it does. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians who are full of self, hypocrisy. They make a mockery of Christ in them. God forbid that that should ever be with any of us. And that is why he presents the cross. That is why he presents Romans 12, 1 and 2. That we offer ourselves up to him to deal with this hypocrisy, with self, these double standards and so on. And we've all lived it. We've all fallen short to it. So you know exactly where I'm coming from in this. Why are there those who just don't want to change? Why are there those who still want to be carnal in the flesh? And sadly, we have a lot of them. Well, I've got a few thoughts about this, but I think that there are a lot that are like this because they're fundamentally undisciplined spiritually in nature. I've often quoted this one, I've often brought it up because it's my experience in counselling as a pastor over the year. You see, there's little quality time with God with these people. They catch a 5 minutes with God when they can. And they think that that glorifies the Lord. They think that that is acceptable before God. In other words, God is saying, why bother? Have you ever felt that from anyone who just gives you a brief encounter or says, you know, look, I can only give you 5 minutes or whatever. You're saying in your heart, well, why bother? We've all felt that because we're feeling rejection. We're feeling as though we're not worth it. And so you say, well, don't bother. And we do that with God. These people do that with God. They're undisciplined spiritually. They don't consider that God has feelings. They don't consider that they can give something to God when they always want from him, give me, give me, give me. But you give something so special, so great to God, yourself, your heart, your time. Just being in his presence gives him the greatest delight. Do you not want to give to your heavenly Father? Look how much he has given to us. Is that so much to ask? Just to be in his presence and to give that time for him? And God will give you that time for him. Because you walk supernaturally. You don't walk like the world does. It's that quality time with God that is so important. And this is where we can come unstuck because we refuse to discipline for this. And so what have we got to do? We've got to cast down our physical. Cast down that physical, that moral, that mental problems that we have. And that is where the cross comes in. Or the cross is not working. You know. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. We often make excuses. You know, I've heard it from Christians when I brought this up. That they're not overcoming. Or you sense that they're going back. They'll probably come up, you know, well, I wasn't disciplined as a child. You know, you're talking about this being a spiritual army, and yes, it's a discipline. Well, I wasn't as a child. I was allowed a lot of freedom to do what I wanted to do. Or I've just got too many problems in my life. Too many obstacles. And I don't know where to start, and so on. I've heard it all. But you see, God isn't going to pamper to our self-life. You can't have these excuses before the Lord. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us a conscience. And that is the point. And many will hear that on that day. But let that not be of us. Let's allow the Spirit to do that work in us. And he will. As we offer ourselves up to him as a living sacrifice. That's for the very purpose, to allow the Spirit to do that work. You can't, but you let him do it. And it's what we call the absence of resistance. In other words, when the Spirit is getting you to spend that time, or to spend some time in prayer that he wants you to pray, whatever, don't resist the unction. Don't resist him. Just yield over, and you will find that the Spirit will do it in and through you. It's not you trying to do it. And that is so exhausting, and it's so negative. And in the end, you just raise your hands up and just surrender. I can't go on like this. That's why God brings us to the ends of ourselves. Until we let go, until we surrender. And then God will take over. But these are the signs of growing up, of maturing, developing. Getting the obstacles out of the way that are stopping you from growing into full maturity. That's the work of the Spirit. That is what he's been doing in your life and my life all these years. And that's why the bondwoman had to be put out into the desert. The flesh has to go into the desert. And this is why God called us out. He called us out of these denominations, of these places where at times we were fed poison. He said, you're in the flesh. And the only way the flesh can be dealt with is, I've got to take you out into the wilderness. And there I'll prepare. There I'll feed you. There I will give you wells of water. Springs of living water. That's what he's done with us. Because that's the only place where the desert can change the carnal, the natural, into the spiritual. God tried to do it with Israel, but she wouldn't have it. Stiff-necked, rebellious, proud. And they perished in the wilderness. And God's opening those wells of living water. He's feeding us. He's sending the ravens. He's giving us the manna of his word. You don't have to go elsewhere. You don't have to strive and find. God's bringing it to you. God's bringing it to me. That's the wonderful thing about walking in the Spirit. You don't have to strive and look for it. God brings it to you. The same as God fed Elijah with the raven. He takes you into the desert to feed you, because that is where you change. That is where you see God. That is where you start to grow and mature as a Christian. And yet most Christians run away from it, because they want to be in control. But you don't. You'll only ever find God in the wilderness. But so many of these Christians want the broad way, because it's easy. But there's no blessing. There's no change. There's no deliverance. And there's the difference. And so God, He had to separate Isaac and Ishmael. They were fighting. Flesh and spirit were fighting. And your flesh fights with God because you want to worship God in the flesh and you never can. We can only worship God in spirit and in truth. The flesh has to be crucified. And it's that offering up of self, Romans 12, on the altar. And you don't need to worry. The fire of God will come down and consume that sacrifice, you. He'll come and meet you with fire to burn out the dross, to burn out that unbelief, that sin, that rebellion in our lives. It's the only way. But you know what? You won't be destroyed. You won't be burnt up. Because God preserves, he keeps you in Jesus Christ. You are no longer under wrath. You're under the mercy and grace and love of God. But brothers and sisters, we have to grow up. We have to mature as sons in these last days. And the only way is when God takes you out into the wilderness. Because then it's supernatural. Your life becomes supernatural. Your life becomes a miracle. You can't survive otherwise. And of course, Israel, she rejected it. She refused it, didn't want it. But of course, we know that the desert, the wilderness, also brings out what is in our hearts in trial. If you want to know still what is in your heart, then you'll see it when God allows you to go through much trial and tribulation. You see then what comes out, and that is your deliverance, that is your purifying. You see, God will expose those things within our heart for the very purpose to deliver us, to get it out. This is why Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles, it's what comes out. We don't know our hearts. We don't know ourselves. Only God does. We're a mystery. We're made in the image of God. That's why psychologists and psychiatry thinks that they know man. They don't. They can't get to the heart of man. Only Almighty God can. Only he can change your heart of stone to a heart of flesh, which he says he's doing. This is why we're a work in progress. We're being changed from glory into glory. But we are the problem. And so when God comes into your life, when he starts to do that deeper work, it's for the purpose that you let go and let God take over. Now, to most, that is frightening. Most would run away from that. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why God never lets us go. He never lets us go under, even though the circumstances look as though it's happening. But he's right there. And always our trials are tailor-made for the purpose that we let go and let God take over. That is what must be seen in our lives in these last days. And so God allows us to go out into the wilderness as the bondwoman was cast out into the wilderness, Ishmael, and yet God still had mercy. He provided for them there. They were about ready to die. We know the story. But God even blessed them. And that's what God has to do with us. He takes us into the wilderness. So from the natural, the carnal, we become spiritual. So that we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And that is what God wants now. This is the work of the spirit now in these last days before the Lord Jesus comes. And he puts us into the desert for that very purpose. But praise God, you will find those wells of living water are there. You'll find those ravens are there. And they're supernaturally teaching you, feeding you, looking after you. Why am I stressing the wilderness so much? Because it's there you meet God. The wilderness is that narrow way that Jesus said that few find. It is a narrow way which means only one can go through at a time. Whereas the broad way you can go through as a crowd. Why is it just one going through the narrow way? Because it means relationship. It means that God loves you and is meeting with you and not a group of you. And there's the difference. So that reveals and shows that our salvation, God's love, is intimate, personal, with you and you alone. And that we must give him time. That is our fellowship. That is our communing with him. That is why we daily go into our closet for that very purpose, because God is doing something unique and special with you and not with anyone else. So, before man fell, before Adam fell, there wasn't all this natural and spiritual, or carnal and spiritual. This being restored. The very reason that we teach this, I'm teaching this today, is because man fell. We weren't supposed to know this. We weren't supposed to be exposed to all of this. A lot of the Word of God that we have here, that is our help, our teaching, the promises of God's Word, wasn't really meant to be. It's because we've fallen that now God's manna has to feed us spiritually. And he has to show us that we cannot be in the natural, we cannot be in the carnal. We'll never please God. That's always the permissive will of God. That we have to grow up and mature to start to walk in the perfect will of God. And you know, a lot of Christians never really see this, that there is a permissive and a perfect will of God. It runs right through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You see all the saints who walk with God, he's ever working with them to bring them to the perfect place, the perfect will of God. And how is this accomplished? Through obedience. And that's what he's working now with us. He's working that obedience in us. He's working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. Because that's the only way we can please our Father. You can try and do works. You can try and sacrifice. But what really, really, really pleases him above everything else is to obey him. Not to question, to argue, but just to trust him with that simple, childlike faith. To know that my Heavenly Father will never hurt me. He will never forsake me. He will never think or do wrong to me. Everything is out of a perfect, perfect, pure heart and motive toward me. If we can't believe that, brothers and sisters, then what's the point of walking this walk? God never makes a mistake. He has made no mistake over your life and my life. It might look as though he has, but he hasn't. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, there we are. That's what I was talking about today. The natural has to be offered up. If we want to be spiritual, if we want to be sons and daughters of God in these last days, if we want to go forth as those five wise virgins who will be ready now, because the next great event for the church is the snatching away, the rapture. And we are not far from it. As we are observing and discerning the signs and the times that we live in, we are seeing the great falling away globally now. The nations have become pagan, they're heathen. But praise God, you are called out from all of that, separated unto holiness, separated unto the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have a remnant in these last days who love you, who love your word, who are willingly laying their lives on that altar so that you can change us and mould us into your image. It's not about us. It's all about you and for your glory. And so, Lord, I thank you for our fellowship today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have come into the room. Lord, I know that you are preserving and you are keeping them. And they are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I pray that you will mightily use them in these last days. That wherever they go, whatever they say, whatever they do, they will always see the life of Christ shining through them to this dying world. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Of God.